I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, U.S. health officials confirm that trailers issued to Gulf Coast residents after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita are contaminated with formaldehyde. We'll check in with one New Orleans resident to see how he and his family are reacting to that news. And we'll talk about the controversial crime-fighting practice known as stop and frisk. The practice is under scrutiny again. But first, major international news. Fidel Castro resigned as Cuba's president today after nearly half a century in power. The 81-year-old leader has been sick since July 2006 after undergoing intestinal surgery. At that time, he transferred power to his 76-year-old brother Raul and has been seen and heard from only occasionally since in official photographs and videotapes and in some published writings. NPR correspondent Tom Gelton is here with us in our Washington studio to tell us more about what this all means. He's writing a book about modern Cuba. Tom, thanks for coming.
Hi, Michelle.
Tom, it was a curious way to announce the decision. It was in a letter posted to an online edition of the Communist Party Daily. Should we read anything into that?
Well, that's a good question, Michelle. You know, covering Cuba, particularly recently, has been a little bit like covering the Kremlin used to be, which is that you look at cues and you try and reach conclusions about it because it is an opaque society. The Cuban government is very closed in the information that it provides, so we do have to sort of look for clues in the way things are presented. Nevertheless, I don't think there's anything particularly significant about this for a couple of reasons. One, we haven't heard from Fidel in a year and a half in any kind of live way. We haven't actually heard him speak except on rare little bits of videotape. So it was to be expected that any announcement like this would come in a more formal way. Now, there are two ways it could have come. It could have come in the evening on the newscast, which is the way that the news of his illness was first released by a newscaster making an announcement. The other way is for it to be in the morning newspaper. And in this age, when something appears in the newspaper, it comes out first in the online edition. I think that he likes to put things in writing these days. This was a very carefully prepared announcement. It appeared simultaneously in English and in Spanish. So this is something that obviously was put together over a period of hours. So I think it's actually quite natural, the way that it appeared.
And what did he give as his reasons?
He said that he, ever since he became ill, it's been hard for him to fulfill his duties, obviously. He said he actually would have left earlier, but the leadership of the government wanted him to stay. He said it would be a betrayal of his responsibilities as a Cuban leader for him to continue to exercise a formal leadership position when he didn't have the physical capability to do it. So he basically referred to his physical condition in explaining that.
And talk to me about the timing. Why this decision now?
Well, we knew there was going to be an announcement, a major announcement of some kind this week, because the Cuban parliament was due to meet on Sunday, will meet on Sunday. And at that point, it would have either reelected him as Cuba's president or would have chosen someone else. Now, so either way, we knew there was going to be a big announcement. And in fact, I think there were a lot of clues that Fidel was probably going to retire at this point. He said in December that he did not intend to hold on to power indefinitely. And other Cuban leaders asked about this were always very circumspect. So it doesn't, the fact that we knew that this was going to happen this week means that today was not a big surprise.
And of course, Castro's brother Raul, who is 76, has been leading the country since Fidel announced that he was sick, or since his surgery. Has there been any change? Have you noticed any mark that he has made?
Mostly it's been a change in style, Michelle. You know, Cuba right now is the head of the non-aligned movement. If Fidel were still in power, he would have been making a real big issue of this. He always very focused on international affairs. Raul has hardly mentioned it. I don't recall a single speech in which he has talked about Cuba's leadership role as the current president of the non-aligned movement. Raul has been much more focused on domestic issues, on the day-to-day lives of Cubans. He has made a few marginal changes that would suggest that his top priority is to improve the daily life of Cubans, the economic situation. He hasn't made a lot of big changes. He's sort of allowed Cubans to more freedom to express some complaints. I think we have yet to see the kind of dramatic changes that people are expecting will come in the aftermath of Fidel's rule.
President Bush has said he hopes this resignation signals the beginning of a democratic transition. What exactly is he suggesting? Is that realistic?
Well, there is going to be an election this weekend in Cuba by the National Assembly. They are going to pick a new president. That has never happened since Fidel took power. And we don't know for sure who it's going to be. That's, you know, that's another aspect of sort of uncertainty. So it is historic. This election, however, is not what George Bush has in mind. He has in mind an election where all candidates from all different ideologies are free to compete. Cuba's not there yet. It's not going down that road. So, no, it's not realistic to expect anything like what the president, George Bush, has in mind.
But are you suggesting that it's not a lock that Raul Castro will be elected president? Are there other contenders?
I don't know if the contenders are the right word. I think that there's a decision that Raul himself has to make, whether he wants to do this or not. It is not a certainty that Raul will be the next president. There are other people, Carlos Laje, for example, who's a sort of the number three. Raul may decide that he is 76 and it's time to bring in some new people while Fidel is still there and able to sort of put an overall umbrella of authority around the government. So we don't know that for sure.
It's our understanding that Castro will remain a member of parliament. Is that correct? Is that sort of an honorific title, or is there any sense that he'll have any future role in governance other than to sort of bless the successor?
First of all, Michelle, the National Assembly, the parliament in Cuba, is very much a rubber stamp parliament. I mean that, you know, I don't know if any time it's ever made a decision that's separate from the leadership of the country. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Whether he's a member of it or not doesn't really make a big difference. I personally think that Fidel, as long as Fidel Castro is alive, he's inevitably going to be an influential person in Cuba. Remember that he hasn't always been president. He was not always prime minister. His authority does not depend on him holding a particular office. Now, the reason that he's out of power now is not because of whether he's officially president or not, it's because he's physically not capable to do it. As long as he is able to reflect, as long as he's able to consult, he will be a very powerful person in Cuba, regardless of what official position he has.
NPR's Tom Gelton here with me in the studio. Tom's new book about modern Cuba will be available in September. To read the full text of Castro's resignation letter, you can go to our website at npr.org/tellmemore. Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Michelle.